All right, well, good morning. The title of our message this morning is Disaster-Proof Your Life. Now, as we go through our lives, the news media bombards us every day with all kinds of earthly disasters like floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all this stuff that our grandfathers never even knew was going on. Now today it's a major thing. But I don't know about you, but many times I think of these poor people and what they must be going through. And I shudder to think what I would do if this happened to me. Just what would you and I do if we were to lose absolutely everything? Of course, there's always those that take advantage of those folks that find themselves in these situations. Companies have taken these disasters and used it to sell more insurance, more expensive insurance. Then there are these rogue contractors that go out and charge three times more than what it was needed to be and only did half the work they were promised to do. But there are always ways we should prepare ourselves, and the best way to prepare ourselves for a disaster, any disaster that might occur in our life. This morning I'm not here to sell you insurance. I'm not an insurance salesman, okay? But I would like to share with you some biblical information on how you can disaster-proof your life. And all at the same time while preparing ourselves for our eternal life. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 46, 1 through 11. I might have used this passage before as a text, but I love this passage. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read through 11. Verse 1 says, "To the chief musician, the son of Korah, a son upon Almah, God is our refuge, strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Let's pray. Father, we do come to you this morning, Lord. We bring this dear pastor's family before you today, this pastor and his family, Lord, in the loss of their grandchildren and the loss of his wife's father. And Lord, we pray that you would just comfort this family. Lord, it's a terrible time in their lives, but Lord, we know that it's part of your plan. And help us not to question your plan, Lord, but to be willing to accept your plan. Lord, we pray now for this church this morning, Lord, that you would send us just the right person, Lord, to become the pastor of this church, Lord. And we just been asking this for a while, and Lord, we know that you have a plan for that too. And Lord, I'd ask that you that we be willing to accept your plan and not be willing to step ahead of you, Lord, but to follow your plan. Now, pray, Lord, I pray that you bless your word to our ears this morning, that we might not be dull of hearing. Put a hedge around this great church, Lord, and protect and bless each one of us here. Now I ask that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now, like I said a little earlier, I'm not an insurance salesman here this morning, okay? I'll let it up to government to take care of that, and so far they've done a pretty poor job doing it, but I don't want to get on this subject, because once again we have a government trying to play God. Amen. One thing I will say, if and when, which is few times, I listen to the fake news, which is not very often, I hear all these snowflakes making a claim that everybody ought to be provided health care, ought to have all the food and housing, and it ought to all be free. And besides that, we ought to send our kids to college for free, and the kids should be able to live with mom and dad for the rest of their lives. Now, in this world, this is called communism. Pure and simple, the government controlling every facet of our life. Communism has been tried hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. It's never worked. All it's ever done is to bankrupt the country and make a bunch of lazy people who won't work and are content to live off of somebody else. Now, it's great to say today we're going away from this mentality. We have a president that don't believe in this mentality. And of course, those folks are going to be with us. They're going to always be with us. Turn with me, Will, to Proverbs 13 through 16. Now, I know he's got close to 1 million people off of food stamps now and back in the job force. They claim now that there's more jobs than there are people looking for jobs. So God is being good to this country. And like I said on the 4th of July, I'm not preaching politics, but I will tell you what, Christians need to be out to vote on November the 8th. They need, because it is up to us. And you'll hear me hammer on this because too many Christians sit at home and say, I don't think my vote's not going to matter. Well, it might be just one vote that does matter. But anyhow, here's this guy that wants to live on food stamps. Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 13. The Bible calls him a slothful man. Proverbs 26, 13 says, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the street. The door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men can render reason. In other words, this lazy person will give you 1,000 reasons why he can't work. There's a lion in the street. The lion's liable to eat me if I go out. But it's interesting to say to look at what God has to say on the subject of these lazy folks. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, he commanded you that if any would not work, neither should they eat. Now, isn't that interesting? If you can't get out of bed and go to work, mom and dad shouldn't have supper on the table for you. Now, the Bible says the poor and the sick, of course, are always going to be with us. And we do. You and I, the church, you and I, and the government, I praise the Lord for the government. We have a responsibility taking care of those folks that can't help themselves. I'm in no way belittling them because they cannot help. And like I say, I am proud of churches and our government that does have ways to care for them. And in Mark 14:7, Jesus says, for you will have the poor always with you. And whenever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. But it was just a year ago that 48% of the American people were living off of the government. I find it hard to believe that out of 315 million people in the country, and I'm not sure that's exact today, 151 million of them are too sick to work. Now that's kind of that's not a very good statistic. But as much as I do know, God has an insurance plan. God has a disaster-proof plan that takes care of his own better than any government possibly could. I would like to read to you some fine print. Fine print in God's insurance policy. I mean fine literally. Now, I read just a small part of God's insurance policy. And I'd ask that you listen and consider the benefits found in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Now listen closely. Now we read this quite often. But this is a part of God's insurance plan for you. Therefore, I say unto you Mark 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Understand, this is God's promise. This is God's promise that it doesn't matter. He's going to make sure that we have food, we have clothing. God tells us that we don't really need to worry about our worldly needs. In the next verse, God's telling us in verse 26 that if he takes care of the birds, he certainly will take care of his family. Matthew 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than them? You see, God tells us over and over, folks, worrying has never, never changed one single solitary thing. Now, I know that I stand here not being the one that really follows this like I should, because I am kind of a worrier, and that is a sin, and I confess to that. But it says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit? Why would you roll around in bed thinking about tomorrow and what went wrong today? Nothing's going to change it. You can lay there and roll and toss all night. Nothing's going to change the fact that it happened. Or it didn't change, it's not going to change the fact that it may happen tomorrow. But it says, which one of you by taking thought could add one cubit unto his stature? Now the word goes on in Matthew 6, 28 and 31. It says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Why worry about what you're going to wear? It says, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, God saying unto you and I here this morning, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, to which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You see, we're told here that all these basic needs are included in God's disaster-proof insurance policy. And we find this insurance policy in the manual. As we continue, the Bible tells us we should not worry about these needs. Let the lost deal with that. Look at Matthew 6, 32 and 34. The Bible says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have the need for all these things. But here's our situation. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. You see, this is not necessarily on subject here, but I watched a little bit of fake news, and they were in one of their hyper-idiotic rampages of what they are always going on the narrative in the opposition to our president. We're talking about the need for government to take care and feeding, housing the illegal aliens. And you know, all of a sudden, the thought crossed my mind. If somebody would just tell these people about Christ, if these people would just get saved, they could stay right there at their home. God would take care of them. And to me, folks, that falls on every Christian all over the world. Don't fall on our government. It falls on us. Many, many, many churches are getting away from missions. Sadly to say, pastors are doing the same thing. More interested in filling the church up than sending out more missionaries. It not only includes pastors, it includes parishioners not being faithful to the command of God to spread the gospel. This is where I'm going to brag a little about Emmanuel Baptist Temple. Since I do not know and I don't want to know what people give, I'm going to guess that every mission-giving family in this church supports anywhere from 3 to 4 missionaries themselves. A family. That, my friend, is an incredible thing. If every Christian in the world was to even come close, there would be missionaries in these countries to tell these folks about Christ. There'd be folks there to tell them about God's disaster-proof insurance policy and protecting and taking care of them. And then think about, oh yeah, then there's that retirement plan. There's that retirement plan that born-again believers have. We could give them a retirement plan also. This morning, now we're going to be looking at a God-fearing man that did collect. He collected on God's disaster-proof policy from the Lord. Look at Psalm 46:1. And we'll see the promise that God's here to help us. No matter what's going on in our life, how bad it is, and I feel bad for this pastor and I feel bad for this family, but we also have a God that's there for them. Psalm 46:1, it says, to the chief musician of the sons of Korah, a song upon Elmoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The setting of this psalm takes us back to the days of the godly Hezekiah, the king of Judah, when the Assyrian army was ready to come against him and destroy him. Turn with me, Will, to 2 Kings 18, 19 through 19 and 20. Second Kings 18, 19 and 20. Now here's this army, the Assyrians, outside the walls of Jerusalem. And in verse 19, and here's the leader of the army, Rabshakeh, and said unto them, speak now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but thou art but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now you see, King Hezekiah, of course, was trusting in his God for help. He trusted God for his help of this huge army of men that had come to conquer. Rabshakeh keeps telling the people on the wall. He keeps telling them and trying to scare them. Just like our fake news is doing today, they're trying to scare the country. But Hezekiah ignored these warnings and he put his trust in the Almighty God. Look at 2 Kings 29 through 30. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hands. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. But yet, King Hezekiah continued to trust in his insurer. Now, I'm sure Hezekiah had no idea how God was going to handle this situation. I know if you and I were in that situation, you don't know how God's going to operate. We don't know. All we know is God promises to take care of us. If you look at 2 Kings 19, 32 through 37, we'll see that the presence of God was really there. Just like he said it would be, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at we find God speaking, telling Hezekiah, don't worry, I'm there. 2 Kings 19:32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Boy, there's some strong words. Thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. Think about that. The Lord's talking to Hezekiah now. He's making him the promise. These people aren't going to come in here. These people aren't going to, they aren't even going to shoot an arrow. They're going to turn around. They're going to go back the same way they came. It says, "For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Now here we find the faith of Hezekiah bearing the fruit. That's where most Christians today, we don't have the faith that this man Hezekiah. Can you imagine Hezekiah, the whole city of Jerusalem? Probably 90% of them was trying to talk him out of it, saying just give up and let him have it. But we find through the faith of Hezekiah, we find him bearing fruit of God's intervention. How great this must have been to hear God tell him, "You just sit there, I'll take care of it, son." And God did take care of Hezekiah's problem without firing a single shot. Look at 35 through 37 of 2 Kings 19. It said in verse 35 of 2 Kings 19, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned to dwell at Nineveh. And it came to pass while he was worshiping in the house of Nashak, his god, that Aramanek and Shahazer, his son, smote him with a sword and escaped out of the land of Amenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead." Now what's this mean for you and I? What this means for you and I is we learn, if we learn from this. And I assure you, although it is history, it is a fact, it did happen. And it happened for you and I to understand that we have a God that says, "I'll take care of you." We have a God that says, "I'll protect my children." Romans 15:4. We have to understand that this happened to Hezekiah. Not just for Hezekiah's sake. It happened to Hezekiah for your sake, for my sake, for everybody's sake. So we can understand that God is there, God is our protector, and He is always there for us. Romans 15:4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," talking about 2 Kings, "were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We have hope that the Almighty God's going to take care of us. God says each of us, He wants each of us to believe that Hezekiah was just another man that loved the Lord. Hezekiah wasn't anything special. He just loved the Lord. Any man that loves and trusts the Lord today, He will be present with us in our trouble just as He was with Hezekiah. That's what He's trying to get across to us. You see, we have exactly the same God Hezekiah had. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God of Hezekiah is the God of us today. And that God, He wants to help you and I. And He promises that if we do not trust, we can reap the benefits from God's policies ourselves. Look at Psalm 46, 1 through 11, back to our text this morning. See, God tells us not to worry about things. You know, and once again, I have to admit, I'm not as strong on that. I am kind of a worrier. And I apologize. And you know, I pray about that all the time. It says, "Therefore will we fear," not fear. "Will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." We don't have to worry about that, do we? We don't have to worry about it. "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," Selah. God's still there with us. God's got his hand on us. There's a river. That's the river of life. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place and the tabernacles of the Most High. So God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. And he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Our God is not some impersonal supreme being that does not care about his own people. Hezekiah is the same God that sent his only begotten son to save you and I from the fires of hell. He loves the rich, the poor, and the lost. But trust me, he has this special place in his heart for his children. For the children that put their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they realize that without a Savior, they're going to end up in the fires of hell. There are those that are willingly repented of their sins and asked Christ God to forgive them. They were the folks that humbly asked Christ to come into their heart and to save them. It was in that microsecond that we became that new creature. We became a part of the Holy Spirit of God entered our hearts. We instantaneously was adopted into the family of God. Makes you and I special this morning. If you've done that, you and I are very special because we are a part of the family of God. We are a part of those that God really takes care of. Now he makes his promise again. Well, look at, I'm sorry, I kind of skipped ahead here. Psalm 46, verse 7, it says, "The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." You and I, as born-again Christians, we have a refuge in God. And he tells us in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's the living God that cannot lie, telling you and I, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'm not saying, and he's not saying, that bad things won't happen in our lives. Because bad things will happen. Bad things are bound to happen. So Jesus said, if they happen to me, they're going to happen to you. So trust me. This morning, this is not an insurance policy that says your life's going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But he does make us a promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Look what he did for Hezekiah. How do you know how many times God helped you this morning? How many times God saved you from an automobile accident on the way up? I was going home the other night. I was going up 302 here, just buzzing along right at the speed limit, or pretty close. And I'm going down this straightaway, and all of a sudden this car's coming the other direction, and he decides he's going to make a left-hand turn. Now, he starts that turn about as far as from here to the kitchen. He begins his turn. So needless to say, me and my little car, we had to stop. But you know, it didn't bother me at all. I wasn't too happy with the person, but I didn't get angry. Because God kept me from hitting. I could have broadsided that car, and everybody could have been hurt. But God stopped that car. He did. Now, if I'd have been in older cars, chances are pretty good that wouldn't have happened. Because with these new anti-lock brakes, you know, that shuts you down pretty quick. But anyhow, I'm saying that to say this. God was with me that day going home. I hope that we can all receive this message from God. That we have to have faith and trust Him. We shouldn't fear what the fake news is telling us. We shouldn't fear any of these things. And like I said, my grandfather and my grandmother didn't know about these hurricanes going on in Florida. They didn't know about this earthquake. They didn't know about that mountain spewing lava all over Hawaii. They just lived a happy little life. And I think if we didn't have the news media, we would all be happier. But be that as it may, we have to understand that we can trust Him. And as we look at the rest of our text, we find God telling us to read His Word. And we'll see the power that he has had in the earth and his inhabitants over the years. Look at Psalm 46, 8 through 11, and then we'll be close. Psalm 46, 8. says, come, behold the works of the Lord. That's what we've just been talking about, the works of the Lord. That big army of Assyria. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. I love this verse. Be still. My wife used to hate it. I'd say, what God is really saying there, just shut up and listen. And know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Every knee will bow before the Almighty God one day. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see, we have a refuge, folks. We have a helper in a time of need. Whatever our needs are this morning, just trust the Lord. Just trust knowing that He says, I won't leave you nor forsake you. And if you're a child of God here this morning, if you're listening this morning, you know Christ is your personal Savior. You are special in the eyes of God. We are special.